You're listening to an East Point Church podcast. East Point Church gathers to make much of Jesus Christ by knowing Him and making Him known. For more information on East Point Church, please visit our website at epcmwc.org.
Ephesians. Okay, so turn in your Bibles to the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in chapter 2, verses 11 through 18 this morning. Now, I said last week that my kids, a lot of times, they wonder how I'm going to preach for 30 minutes on one verse. But just to assure you this morning, I'm not going to spend 30 minutes on every verse this morning, okay? So this we're doing a pretty big chunk of Scripture, but we kind of need it all there to see the thought that God is conveying to us that Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus. I hope last week, if you remember last week, we looked at verse 10, and we saw that in Christ, we are God's what?
Masterpiece.
That's right. We're His workmanship. We're works of art. And I hope this last week, you looked at yourself and others a little differently. I hope you saw yourself and others as works of art, God's workmanship. I hope that when you looked out at creation, or you looked at a flower or the trees or heard the birds singing, or when you saw a painting or a sculpture, that you were reminded of God's glory, but that you realize that an even greater work of art is you, made in God's image. And that in Jesus Christ, those of you that have come to that place when you say, yes, I need a Savior, I want to be saved, and Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. He is the only way. You come to the end of yourself knowing there's nothing you can do, because there's, you know, we already discussed that just a couple of weeks ago. There's nothing you can do to earn your way to salvation. You've come to that place where you say, I need Jesus. Those of us that are in Jesus Christ, we are the ultimate masterpiece. We are the ultimate work of art. We've been created twice. We've become a new creation. This morning, as we move on into chapter 2, farther into that, and then we discuss this kind of big section, we're going to look at being one in Christ, the unity that we find knowing Jesus. So what I want to do is I want to read verses 11 through 18, and then we're going to kind of just break it down and jump right into this. So let's read this together. Verse 11, "Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in His flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that He might create in Himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And He came and preached peace to you who are far off, and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father." Okay, so some interesting things happening in this passage. He talks about hostility. He talks about breaking down a barrier. He talks about bringing peace. He talks about making a new man. What is he discussing here? And we see right from the beginning in verse 11, he talks to the Gentiles, and he puts in there the quotation marks, those that are uncircumcised, by those who are the circumcision. Who is he talking about, those who are the circumcision? Who is that? Who? The Jews. That's right. So what we see here from the beginning is we have the Gentiles and the Jews. Okay. I think everyone in this room, we are Gentiles, okay? I'm pretty sure, as far as I know, okay? But so we are in that group. Now, God's people, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, God's chosen people are the Jews. Now, back then, I mean, there was this racism between these two groups. And we know that racism is still around today. We see wars fought all over this globe. We, you know, ever since sin entered the world, people have put up walls to keep others out, okay? We know that. It still goes on today. But sometimes we, as believers, we as people that are reading the Bible, don't realize how intense the hatred was between Jews and Gentiles. We read it and we kind of go, oh, okay, they didn't like each other. No, it wasn't, they didn't like each other. They hated each other, okay? The Jews hated the Gentiles. It was said even in the Jewish culture that a Jew couldn't even help a Gentile woman give birth if she needed help, because all that would do is bring another heathen into the world. They didn't want to have anything to do with the Gentiles. But the Gentiles were the same way. Anyone who wasn't a Jew, they hated them as well. They called them barbarians. They considered them their enemy. So you see what happened when Christ died on the cross, he rose again, and that barrier was destroyed. Now all could come to Jesus. All could be saved. And so in the New Testament, we see these churches start up, and we see Gentiles coming to know Christ. And so all of a sudden, you have these Jewish Christians who had been taught all their life to hate Gentiles. They were coming to know Christ. But then you have Gentiles who all their life were taught to hate the Jews, and all of a sudden, they began having church together. And you see how the churches had disunity because of the situation. But we know, and we see in Scripture, and we know in us as we become new creations in Jesus, we know that in Christ there is unity. Okay? The church is to be unified. Now, here in America, we don't have any problems with churches being fight. Do they fight? Do churches fight amongst each other? I mean, this whole split thing, is that just a rumor that I've heard? Churches don't split. They would never do that. They wouldn't completely divide down the middle and go somewhere else and start another church. We face the same thing. But, you know, that's not Christ's best for us. That's not what Christ desires for the church. He desires that the church be unified. There should be unity among believers. There should be unity in the church. And we're not just talking about an organizational unity. We're talking about a spiritual unity. And this disunity that we see in the early churches in the church of Ephesus was between Jewish and Gentile believers. And so this section of Scripture is talking to us about becoming one in Christ. Now, we understand that God chose the Jewish people to be his people. We see that in Scripture. This was God's sovereign plan. The Jews were chosen to receive God's blessing. And also, here's the thing, it's so cool. The Jews were chosen to receive God's blessing, but they were also chosen to bless the rest of the world. They were chosen to be that channel that Jesus would be shared with the rest of the world. The Jews were to be the channel that God would use to spread the knowledge of God to the rest of the world. You see where Jerusalem is in the world back then, and it was just like all the roads led into Jerusalem and then back out. God had that plan. But because of sin, we know that the Jews did not fulfill that calling. And we see that the way they treated the Gentiles. We see it by their hatred to the Gentiles. And so this all came crashing together when Gentiles began to accept Christ as their Savior. So we got to also remember too that, yes, the Jews were God's chosen people. But many of the Jews, and most of the Jews, did not accept Jesus. We see in verses 1 through 10 that we have been discussing that Jews and Gentiles were both completely alienated from God if they were without Jesus Christ. And so in this section, Paul is calling for all believers to be one in Christ. He is calling for a spiritual unity that is only found in Christ. And so what we see in this passage is that without Christ, we are completely alienated from God. And that the only way to this for this to be to overcome this is by being reconciled from God. So those are the two things that we're going to look at today. You know, why are we separated from God? Why are we alienated from God? Anyone without Christ is an alien to God. They're an enemy of God. They're completely alienated. And the only way to overcome this is to be reconciled to God. So let's look at what it means first to be alienated from God. Look back at verses 11 and 12. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called, and some translations say, by the so-called circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So look, think about the words that he's saying here. Without Christ, without Jesus Christ as your Savior, we are separated from him. We are alienated. We have no hope. Now remember, we are Gentiles. And so in these verses, we can understand, we can tie into this. And what Paul does is he describes five ways in which the Gentiles were alienated to God. If you are here this morning and you are without Christ, and I'm not talking about a religion. I'm not talking about just going to church. I'm not talking about being a member of a church. I'm talking about if you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, if you've never accepted that calling, that you feel Christ calling you to be his child, and you've never come to that point, if you are without Christ this morning, you are alienated. You're completely alienated from God. You're completely separated. Those of you that have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, before Christ, you too were alienated. Let's look at these five ways that Gentiles are alienated from Christ. The first one is this. It's a social alienation. Okay? It's pretty simple. We're not Jews. We were socially alienated from God's chosen people. To the Jews, the Gentiles were completely outcasts. They weren't Jewish. They were uncircumcised. And this was a terrible thing to be called by a Jew, to be called uncircumcised. It was a huge, huge insult. But Paul's not letting the Jewish people off. You could see the language he was using. He's like, yeah, by you so-called circumcised. You know, he's saying, you know what, guys, that's completely a works thing. That's completely by human hands. You guys are you call the Gentiles this insult, but look at you guys, you so-called circumcised. We know Paul's feelings about the Jews who placed all their emphasis on the religious external, those works. Circumcision was never the true mark of someone a personal relationship with God. Even to God, it was that outward appearance. But even in the Old Testament, when you really dig into the Old Testament, God always wanted the Jews' hearts. He wanted Israel's heart. He said, "This, you know, the circumcision, that's an outward thing. I want your heart." We know salvation does not come through works so that no one can boast. Salvation is through Christ alone. And for the Gentiles, they were socially alienated from God because they were not Jewish. The second way that they were alienated is they were separate from Christ. Verse 12 says that they were separated from Christ. Verse 12 states that they didn't have any hope, that in the Gentile they had no hope of the Messiah. Did the Gentiles have gods? they had gods. They had false gods. So the Gentiles, they had religion. They had temples everywhere. They had all these gods, but they were completely separated. They had no Messiah. They had no Messiah. They were without hope. They were separated from God. The third way that Gentiles were alienated from God is that they were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. And basically all this means is that the Gentiles were foreigners. They were excluded from the covenants of promise. They were the outcasts. And then Paul goes on to say, not only were they separated socially, not only were they separated just because they were not Jews, but they were also completely without hope. I want you to hear this. Without Christ, there is no hope. There is no hope. We've talked about this so many times. We see it so many times just spring forth in Scripture. That without Jesus, you have no hope. And people without Christ, they put their hope in everything they can think of because they're searching for hope. They put their hope in their jobs and their money. They put their hope in relationships with people. They put their hopes in their homes and in what they have and where they are socially and how many friends they have, how many friends they have on Facebook, how many whatever it is. They put their hope in all this stuff that completely will pass away. Completely will pass away. When they die, if they have no Jesus, if they do not know Christ, they have no hope, and they will be eternally in hell, separated from Christ. Only with Jesus do we have hope. True hope only comes in Christ Jesus. My question to you this morning is, do you feel hopeless? Do you feel hopeless? Do you have that churning in your body where you're just scared all the time? And you try to live another week and feel good about yourself. You try to be happy. You try to force this stuff. If you feel hopeless this morning, maybe it's because you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Maybe it's time today to accept Jesus as your Savior. Several years ago, there was a S-4 submarine that was rammed off the coast of Massachusetts. It was rammed by another ship, and it began to sink. And the entire crew was trapped in the submarine as it began to sink. And every effort was made to rescue the crew, but all the efforts had failed. And on one of the last attempts, this deep sea diver was down there trying to figure out if there was any other way to rescue the crew. And he heard this tapping as he was swimming by the steel of the submarine. He heard this tapping. He said, "What is that tapping?" And he began to understand that it was Morse code, that from the inside of the submarine, somebody was tapping. And the message that was being tapped inside that submarine was this: is there any hope? Someone was in there saying, please, is there, just give us an answer. Is there hope? Are we going to be saved? I want to give you some good news this morning. There is hope. There is hope. There is hope in your life. If you feel trapped, if you feel like you're on that submarine sinking and there's nothing you can do, there isn't anything you can do except put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There is hope. And it only comes through Christ. The Gentiles, we as Gentiles, were hopeless before Christ came. And then the fifth thing that Paul reminds us and how we were alienated from Christ is that we were without God. Again, the pagan world had many gods. They had their temples. They had, all their gods were made up. they were statues. They were myth. They were false. And the Gentiles were aliens who had no hope. Those without Christ, if you really start talking to people that don't know Jesus, you're going to see something deep below the surface, and that's that they're scared. They're scared. They don't want to think about death. They don't want to think. They're the ones that just get so consumed with all the stuff they see on the news. They're scared about what's coming down the road, what the future holds. They're scared. And they've put all their efforts into false hopes. And the Gentiles, even back during this time, they put all their hopes into false gods, myths, statues. And so what Paul tells us in this chapter, what Paul tells us in this passage is this: the only answer to alienation is reconciliation. The only answer to being alienated from God is to be reconciled to Jesus. And so that's what we see in these next few verses, verses 13 through 18. What is reconciliation? The answer to unity, the answer to unity even within the church, the answer to a life with no hope is reconciliation to Christ. The answer is, as verse 13 states, look at verse 13 in your Bibles. What is the answer? Someone tell me just by reading that verse. What is it? What is it?
Christ.
Christ? What does it say? The what of Christ? The blood of Christ. So yes, Jesus Christ is the answer. The answer to reconciliation, the answer to being alienated from God is the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ makes it possible for believing Jews and Gentiles to come near. See, the Gentiles were far away. And this is what we need to see. You know, do you see this language in there? It's talking about being far away and coming near. The Gentiles were far away. They were not God's people. The Jews were God's people. They were closer, but they still didn't have Jesus. But if the Jew became a Christian, if the Jew put their faith and hope in Christ, the Jew became even nearer, and the Gentile became even nearer. They became close to God. But through Christ allows both the Jews and the Gentiles to come very near to Jesus. Why? Because Christ is our peace. Christ is the peace. And what Paul is talking about is Christ came to bring peace to this hostility between Jews and Gentiles. Christ broke down the barrier. Now Gentiles can come to the Father. They can come to Jesus Christ. Jews and Gentiles can both come and know Jesus. God broke down that barrier with Christ on the cross. So how did he do this? How did he do this? And that's what Paul discusses in the rest of this passage. How did he break down this barrier? How did he give Jews and Gentiles access to God through Christ? He did this first by abolishing the law. He abolished the law. We see that right in this passage. He abolished the law. Now, we understand, you know, Christ came, remember on the Sermon on the Mount, he said, I have not come to abolish the law. I've come to fulfill it. Okay? Paul's not talking about the moral law, about sinning. Paul is talking about the ceremonial law. Christ on the cross abolished the ceremonial law, the washings, the sacrifices, all those Sabbath restrictions. He did away with that. And he's saying, now, you know what? Christ is the only way to salvation, not with all the stuff that you do, not all that stuff that you, that all those lists that you have to fulfill. Christ is the way to salvation. We know the gospel now. We read this in just a few verses ago. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, not a result of washings and sacrifices and Sabbath restrictions, so that no one may boast. He did away with the law. He abolished that ceremonial law. A second thing that he did, and I think this is so cool. I think this is so awesome. Christ created one new man in place of two. What in the world is he talking about here? Christ created a new man in place of the two. What does he mean by this? Okay, this is what he meant. He did not turn Gentiles into Jews so they become Christian, okay? He did not say, all right, Gentiles, I'm going to give you a new creation. You're going to be a Jew now. He didn't do that. He didn't turn Gentiles into Jews. He didn't turn Jews into Gentiles. He created a whole new man, the person that accepts Jesus as his Savior. He made peace to reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross. We know that's true. Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Whether you're a Jew who accepts Jesus, whether you're a Gentile who accepts Jesus, you are created, you are made a new creation, the ultimate masterpiece. And it's so sad that we have the barriers that we have. It's so sad. It's so sad that people say, now you have to be like this. No. Christ made a new man out of the two, a new creation. There's a story about that comes from World War II, and there was a group of American soldiers, and they lost one of their buddies in battle, and they were in Europe, and they were looking for a place to bury him. They came to this church, and they found a cemetery, and they came in. They said, "We just want to bury our friend." And this was a Catholic church, and the priest said, "Oh no, he's not Catholic. You can't bury him in our cemetery." And so what the American soldiers did is they came right outside the fence. They buried their soldier right outside the fence of that cemetery. And so the next morning they came back one more time to pay their respects, and they couldn't find the grave. It's like, "We know we buried him outside the fence right here, but we can't find the grave." The priest saw them, and he came out and was talking to him, and he said, "We're going to find our friend where we buried him last night." And the priest said, "You know what? I had a rough night. I spent half the night feeling terrible for what I said to you and not letting you bury your friend. I spent the rest of the night moving the fence." So he moved that fence so that he would be in that cemetery. Christ broke the barrier. Christ broke the barrier. Gentiles, Jews, anyone can come to Jesus Christ if they put their faith and trust in him. He reconciled the new humanity to God. And this reconciliation is the peace of the church. It's what brings unity to the church. It is the peace between Jew and Gentile. And my question to you this morning is this: have you been reconciled to Christ? Are you an alien? Are you alienated? Because the only answer to that alienation is reconciliation to Jesus Christ. Are you hopeless? Is your body just scared and tormented, and you are fearful of death and you're fearful of future? You have no hope. Let me say, there is hope. It's the gospel. It's the good news. It's Jesus Christ. And the good news is this: you don't have to do anything. You don't have to get up and sing a song or do a dance, or you don't have to go and do some community service for 10 weeks. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is surrender your life to him. Come on your knees and say, "Yes, Lord, I accept you as my Savior." And you will have hope. You'll have peace. You'll have eternal life. For through him, Christ, we both have access in one spirit to the Father. Through Jesus Christ, peace comes. Through Jesus Christ, unity in the church comes. Through Jesus Christ, we become new creations, masterpieces, the ultimate works of art. We have hope. Let's pray this morning, and I want to give you an opportunity to receive that hope this morning. God, we thank you. I know I say these words over and over every week. We thank you, God, for Jesus. We thank you for sending your son, for loving us so much that you would send your son to die for us. We thank you for the cross. As we see in the scripture this morning, we thank you for the blood of Christ, knowing that that is the answer to alienation, that that is the answer to having hope, to finding peace. The blood of Christ. And so, God, I thank you for that. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth of your word. And I pray for anyone in this room, because I know it's not my words, it's not how I say them. All I know is that it is the power of the gospel, it's the power of Jesus that calls, it's the Holy Spirit that calls people. And I pray, if there's anyone here this morning that is feeling that call on their life, that knows that they need to accept you as their Savior, I pray that they would not walk out of here this morning, but they would instead come to you, come to that hope, come to Christ. I pray, as we sing this song, as we worship together as a church, I pray that many would come to accept you for the first time. I pray for those of us that are believers, those of us that are followers of Christ, that we would truly understand that the unity that we find in this church, the unity that we find in the body of Christ, only comes through the blood of Christ. It is that peace.